الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات، والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: ما ظهر في قوم الربا والزنا إلا أحلوا بأنفسهم عقاب الله عز وجل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends, and mothers and sisters listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As per our discussion in my few previous Juma khutbah, riba has been mentioned in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that no other sin has been condemned in such a way. And we have, to certain extent, discuss the severity of this sin, the harms of indulging in interest-based transactions. Today, inshallah, we will be going through one great benefit which is mentioned in the Quran. There are many benefits of staying away from interest-based transactions and riba. This sin is so severe in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that ijtanibu sab' al-mubiqat, stay away from those seven sins which will completely destroy your spiritual life. Mubiqat ay muhlikat. Ash-shirku billah, number one, ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sihru, black magic. To have ill feeling towards another brother, another Muslim, another human brother. And to engage in black magic. This will destroy your spirituality. This is a topic in itself. Ash-shirku billah, as-sihru, wa qatlu an-nafs allati harrama Allahu illa bil haqq. To kill someone without any reason. Number four, wa aklu ar-riba. So from amongst the seven great sins in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is extremely detrimental and dangerous for a person's spirituality, one of them is eating riba and interest. And the benefit mentioned in the Quran, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرُبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases sadaqat, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys riba. That income, that money that comes through wrong sources will never have barakah in it. Even though apparently we might see barakah, we might see the wealth increasing, we might see the money increasing, we might be progressing in our wealth and in affluence. But when it comes to barakah, barakah will be absent from this wealth, wealth of interest. This thought can come to someone's mind that I know someone who is indulged in acquiring money from wrong sources. But I still see his wealth increasing. I see him living in a big houses. He owns a lot of mansions. He drives big cars. And his life, he has everything in his life. So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy? Or how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away barakah from that wealth which is acquired through wrong sources? In order to understand this, my brothers, rahat is a separate thing and asbab-e rahat is a different thing. Peace, tranquility is different. And the means of peace and tranquility is different. Whatever you see around you, the people who are acquiring their wealth from wrong sources, they have big houses, they have big cars, they have everything in their life apparently. And you think they are enjoying their life, anything that comes to their mind and heart, they're able to buy it, they're able to purchase it. Rahat and asbab-e rahat, they are two different things. Because sometimes a person can have the means of peace and tranquility, but peace and tranquility comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not come through asbab and means. Sometimes you can have big houses, good cars, you can have everything, but peace does not exist in your heart. Satisfaction doesn't exist in your heart. You will see so many people who are rich, but when you talk to them, they're not happy with their life. They have some sort of calamity in their life. Either they have a business breakdown, they have children who are disobedient, they have a wife who is disobedient, husband who is a disobedient husband. They're not happy with something. And many people, they're not able to sleep. Just in Canada, almost 50% of the people take sleeping pills in order to sleep at night. This is a big chunk, my brothers. 50% of the people take sleeping pills to sleep at night. They have everything. They have a house. They have a bed to sleep. They have everything. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to deprive someone from a bounty, then this person cannot sleep even on a water mattress. He can get the most expensive mattress, but he cannot sleep. He has everything at his disposal. But if he has some sort of illness, this person will not be able to eat. I have seen so many people with my eyes. They're millionaires. When they sit down to eat, they eat bread and tea. They're not able to eat anything else. They have money to purchase anything in the world. But peace and tranquility comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not come through asbab. These people, they have asbab of peace and tranquility. They have the means of peace and tranquility. But the peace that should exist in a person's heart is not there. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرُبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. It is not up to us to judge every single person that, oh, this person is rich and he's going through a calamity in his life, so he's acquiring his wealth from wrong sources. This is not up to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge everyone. Because sometimes a person is rich and he's acquiring his income from the right sources. And he is trying his best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to test such individuals. So anyone who you see that this person is in a calamity, it does not give us a license to jump to this conclusion that this person is acquiring his wealth from wrong sources. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Some Mufassirin mentions that this verse is related to the Akhirah. when this person will be resurrected on the day of judgment, the money which was acquired through wrong sources and he used to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not benefit him in the hereafter. This is also a misconception. Many people who are indulged in haram, they acquire money through haram sources and then they go and perform umrah. Umrah over umrah. They go and perform hajj every year. They help many people around the world. People who are in need back home, people who are in need here, they spend so much on them thinking that when we do something good after acquiring this money from wrong sources, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask us on the day of judgment that why did you indulge yourself in this sin. This is a misconception, my brothers. A lot of fuqaha have written that person who spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or who spends in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the haram money, thinking that this will clean my sin of acquiring money from the wrong sources, his iman is in jeopardy. It is possible he will leave iman because he's doing takhfif of the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's taking light. He's taking light of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of staying away from haram sources and riba. This is why Hassan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala, and according to some narration, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say that those people who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this reason, they should understand this example. That when you have impurity on your body or on your clothing, you cannot clean this impurity with urine. Peshab ke zariye se najasat ko dur nahi kiya ja sakta. Similarly, if you acquire money from wrong sources, how can you cleanse your wealth through spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases sadaqat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys riba. Many, many warnings mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that ma zahara fi qawmin ar-riba wa zina. That riba and zina does not become common in any society, but illa ahallu bi anfusihim iqab Allah azza wa jal. But they invite the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. They're making the punishment and torment of the hereafter halal upon themselves. It is possible that if the riba and zina becomes so common in a society, in a community, then the umumi azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a general punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend on that community, which will not only affect those who are sinful, but it will also affect those who are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the obligation and the responsibility of those who are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they stop every single evil taking place in the society. Whether he is an alim or not. This is why, my brothers, we should go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in some degree, you will be able to fulfill this responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon you of amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. This is a responsibility of every single human or every single believer. Whether he is an alim or not, this is his responsibility, whatever he sees around him. First responsibility is that he works on himself. And then whatever he sees in his family, he tries to rectify that. And then beyond the family, whatever he sees in the community, in the society, it is his responsibility that he goes and confronts every single evil taking place in the society, in the community, and try his utmost to eradicate, eliminate, and wipe away that sin, that evil, and that vice from the community. مَا ظَهَرَ فِي قَوْمٍ الْرِبَى وَالزِّنَى. Two sins, riba and zina. If they become common, wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الْرِبَى سَبْعُونَ حُوبًا أَيْسَرُهُ أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الرَّجُلُ أُمَّهُ. The riba consists of 70 sins. حُوب means sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُوبًا كَبِيرًا. This is a grave sin, big, great sin. What is a great sin? That when a yatim orphan is under your guardianship and you do khiyana in his wealth. إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُوبًا كَبِيرًا. This is a great sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الرِّبَى سَبْعُونَ حُوبًا. It consists of 70 sins. And the lowest degree of these 70 sins is أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الرَّجُلُ أُمَّهُ, that a person commits zina with his own mother. You can understand how severely the warnings have been mentioned with regards to riba. In the hadith, also in the Quran, I mentioned the verse of the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah, wadharu ma baqiya min al-riba in kuntum mu'mineen. Fa'in lam taf'alu, fa'adhanu biharbin min Allahi wa rasulih. If you don't stay away from riba and interest-based transactions and consuming haram, then wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly makes an announcement in the Quran that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they both go against this person in a war. If Allah wages a war against something, how can a person be saved in this dunya, also in the akhirah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has curse such people. لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْهِ وَكَاتِبَهُ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed that person who takes interest, who gives interest, who makes other people eat interest. آكِلَهُ وَمُوكِلَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْهِ. Those people who are connected to this transaction in whatever way possible. They're writing things for these two individuals, these two parties. A middleman is also cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brings up the issue of working in a bank. Not every position in the bank is prohibited or impermissible. There are a few positions which are permissible. We need to consult the muftis and the ulama. But if you are the middleman between two people who are indulged in interest, وَكَاتِبَهُ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed this person. وَشَاهِدَيْهِ, those people who become witness to this transaction, they're also cursed by Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, وَهُمْ فِيهِ سَوَى, and they are all equal in the sin. Don't think that only that person is indulged in the great sin of riba who's taking riba. No, the person who's taking riba, who's giving riba, who's writing riba, and who is becoming a witness to riba, they're all equal in the sin of riba and interest. So many other warnings are mentioned, but I feel that these few warnings are sufficient for us to understand that this is extremely disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us go with this firm resolution, my brothers, that from today we will not indulge in anything haram. Anything haram, we will see where our money is coming from. We can live a life of starvation. We can live off one meal per day. We can live in an apartment. And we can drive a small car. We will live a simple life, but we will not indulge in anything that is haram. We cannot displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are so many harms, my brother. I cannot explain to you in one lecture in 15-20 minutes. The harms of consuming haram, the harms of interest, the harms of acquiring money from wrong sources. A person is deprived from ilm. A person is deprived from amal. His children becomes disobedient. This is why Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he had a slave who brought food. So he consumed that food, and afterwards he did not ask his slave where this food came from. So the slave thought to himself that I should go and approach Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that every time I bring something to him, he says that, where did you get this food from? Today, he did not ask this question to me. So when he asked Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that why didn't you ask me where I got this food from? He said, I was hungry for the past so many days. So when I saw food in front of me, I became greedy and I ate that food. But I ask you now, where did you get this food from? He said, in the time of Jahiliyyah, When I was not a Muslim, at that time, I was a fortune teller. This was my occupation, which is haram in Islam. Any income that you acquire through fortune telling is haram. So he said, I used to do this in the time of Jahiliyyah, and I gave information to one family. So today when I met the family, they called me and they said that you told us so such and such thing few years ago and it came right. So we're so happy. As a gift, we would like to give you this food. This was that food which I gave it to you and you ate it. My brothers, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became so restless. He was so hungry that he tried to put his fingers in his mouth and try to take everything out. But because he was so hungry and the food was so little, nothing came out. So he took a few glasses of water, he drank that, and then he put his fingers in his mouth again. And he took every single thing out from his stomach. The slave asked him that, Oh Abu Bakr, what was the need to do this? You were not aware that this was haram. And you ate it thinking that this is halal. This was not your fault. You will not be questioned on the day of judgment. He said that, how can I eat such food and keep this food in my stomach? Look at the sentence of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my brothers. And let us write this sentence on the plate of our hearts. And he says that, I have heard my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that that body which is nourished from anything that is haram, Jannah has been made haram upon this person. Any flesh that grows through haram, this will not enter Jannah. So let us all stay away from everything that is haram. And especially riba and interest. Let us check our sources where our income is coming from. And after acquiring our wealth from the right sources, then we have to check, make sure the food we are eating and consuming, that should also be halal. That should also be halal. Imam Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala mentioned 900 years ago that Islam has made interest prohibited because it prevents people from undertaking good and productive activity. Because the people who are indulged in haram, that society cannot progress. Like I mentioned, the rich will become richer and the poor will become poorer and poorer. When there is no riba in the society, everyone has an equal chance of progressing. If people can acquire money easily through stock exchange, through haram sources, he will not undertake any business. He will not open a store. He will not open his own business. And many people will be deprived of employment. If he has his own store, it's possible he will keep 2-3 people to work in his store. If he has a company, he will keep 20, 30, 40 people in his company. Look how many people are benefiting from the Islamic system. So let us go with this message today that we will stay away from haram, haram income, and haram food, inshallah. So that we can also stay on deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us steadfast on deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our children on the right path. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us khair and goodness in our entire society and entire world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, give me the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said, and then all of you the tawfiq upon what has been said.